Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Says live. Hey, we're on. Hello, Susie, and hi, groomers.
Really? Hi, groomers, and welcome to, yes, it's awful. I can't see your reaction.
I freaked out and she saw that.
Yes. Welcome to episode 183 of the Groom Pod, recorded on October 21st, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Stazco, South Park, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about using medicated shampoos. We will also discover copolymers, and we're going to chat about a Facebook question. If you'd like us to chat about your Facebook question, gosh, I forget we're live. If you want us to chat about your Facebook question, you can go to our website or our Facebook page at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod everywhere you listen to podcasts. Find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner and donation button and Patreon button, all of which are ways we can support the show at www.thegroompod.com. Remember to share us with all your grooming pals and support our fantastic sponsors. What's new, Barbara?
Oh, I'll tell you what's new. I developed a new quickie spa product.
Oh, really?
To use in our tubs. Yes, I groomed Winston the Westie yesterday, and Winston has this little situation on his spine, or right down his spine. He tends to get kind of oily, greasy hair, and there's one area in particular that's about long that can be kind of yellowish and still oily after the bath.
Right.
So last month when Winston was in, we did the knockoff Nagayu treatment, and it helped. It was fine, but not perfect. This time, I made a mixture of activated charcoal powder and Rasool clay.
What?
So two powders. So these were like mixing two powders. Are you scratching your head for a reason? Is that what? What could you be talking about? It looks like you got fleas or something. So I just mix these two powdered substances together in a little, I've got a little vacuum pack jar, and I sent it off with Yvonne, and I said, get a little plate and put a scoop of this stuff and then just dribble water on it till you make a paste and put that on that area. Well, she did. In fact, she said she had enough that she put it all the way down the spine. And she left it there and did something else and came back and bathed him. Boy, it worked. It worked really good.
Really? What was it like when it was done?
It was perfect. It was just a nice, it didn't overly soften the coat. It was just totally clean and no dandruffy and no residue from the product that I could determine. And it just cleansed his skin really well and got that little oily area just normalized so that it didn't look funny. Use the blade over it, you know, or the snap-on comb. So it's just another little tool in my arsenal of at the tub insta spa stuff, you know.
So how long did you think she left it on there to soak?
Well, she left it on quite a while before it. I don't think that it has to be a long time. I think, you know, 5 minutes or at least, I would say 5 minutes or more. And if you do have a situation like we do in the shop, I can't believe that Marco is barking while I'm on live.
Does he see me?
No, he's out there. He's imagining you, though. Imagining you while there's something spooky going on here. I can tell. He says, "I better just bark."
All right. Well, that's cool. Right.
So that was cool. It was just like a real sense of satisfaction. It was just a momentary intuition. It was just a little spasm happened, and I said, oh, I should do this. I should mix this and this. And, you know, it's just like two dry things. Well, the problem that I have with the prepared mud bath is that it tends to dry up and get icky if you don't just use it up. If you let the gallons sit around, it's hard to squeeze them out, et cetera, and so forth. And I like the idea of mixing something up fresh at the tub, although neither of these ingredients themselves are fresh. Activated charcoal, that's like powdered burn shit, right?
Right.
And the clay is like dirt.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, doesn't seem like it would do anything.
No, both of those ingredients, both the Rasool clay and the activated charcoal, absorb excess oils out of the coat. And then the activated charcoal is just even a little bit more so of purifying or getting any kind of odors and lingering ness in there. I'm liking it.
Speaking of activated charcoal, there's a new shampoo out there. Did we talk about activated charcoal? We did recently. Amazon is hammering me with these shampoos with activated charcoal. And I was going to ask, are you still using that? But you kind of answered that question right there. So you're using it just straight on activated charcoal in this mix of mud.
Yeah, and this with clay.
Clay and mud clay, you know.
Yeah, and dirt.
Yes.
It's not dirty. It's really creamy. The clay, when you moisten it, it becomes really kind of creamy and smooth. It's kind of cool. No, but I'm going to use this on myself, and I'll give you a little bit. And I am testing the eye groom activate charcoal plus keratin shampoo.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so we're
that's
in,
where I saw it also.
Yeah, so yeah. Also, yeah. Yeah, the activated charcoal is the fad of the moment. You know, okay. it's like argan oil was 3 years ago, you know. And so what happens is if there's a single successful product using a new, especially natural ingredient, it just catches on and everybody has to have their activated charcoal product, right?
Right, to jump onto the bandwagon and to get a little bit of the cash before it runs out.
Yeah, it's like catch the wave while it's on our shore. So, you know, and there's some reason, there's good reason to use activated charcoal. It's an interesting substance. I haven't found a negative, although I'm sure you don't want to get it in their eyes. And what Susie told, oh, not Susie, sorry. Sorry. Yeah. What Yvonne told me post-bath, I asked her, did the clay and charcoal get, did it go through the screen of the Bathing Beauty or did it collect as a mess underneath there? She said, no, it just went right on through.
Cool.
So cool, huh?
Yeah, I like it. Anything else exciting this week?
No. Other than that, that was the high point. I'm sorry if it's not good enough for you.
No,
what about your own adventures, my dear?
little more adventure than I'd like, but let me start out with a question that I had last week that I didn't ask, and I want to ask it now. Can I use a steel from my knife block on my shears?
A steel. You mean, can you sharpen your shears on your knife block?
A steel is that round thing comes out of the handle, and all it does is re-straighten the blade. It doesn't actually sharpen anything, and you just run the blade down before you use it. And I was wondering if I could use a steel on my shears. But if you've never heard of it, I think this is a question for a sharpener. And I have one in, that is lined up to come on the show. And maybe that's the person I need to ask this question.
Yeah, to. I'm gonna say I am leery of home maintenance of expensive shears. I would try it first on your kitchen shears. You know, is it going to disturb the bevel if it's beveled, or is it going to disturb the clamshell if it's a convex blade? I mean, if it's made for kitchen stuff, it's made for beveled things. Edges are different and have different requirements. Not that I'm jumping into your sharpener's domain there, but that's just my red flag goes up at that idea.
All right. I'm all scared to send my stuff away now because I lost those shears.
I know. I'm scared to send my stuff away too because I lost some shears the last time I sent stuff out, and it was poor packing on the return mail.
I think,
and it was one of my Arius Eichert beveled edge shears that are just like irreplaceable now.
I'm pretty sure mine was just crappy neighbors, you know, stealing mailbox stuff. It probably wasn't shoved all the way into my locking mailbox. It was probably sticking out. Somebody went by and grabbed it. And, you know, that's the post office fault. I paid a lot of money to have that stupid locking mailbox in there, and they should push the mail all the way through. There was no reason it shouldn't have been able to, because when they arrived the next time, it went right in the box. So I don't know. But I was thinking this might be a good favor to pull in from the vet hospital, because somebody's there. They can actually hand deliver it to a human being, and, you know, it might be safer for me to get my shears delivered to there. So just a thought.
Yeah.
Well,
good thinking.
My big adventure, for anyone who hasn't looked on the Facebook discussion group, was my phone died.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
It was strange because I do everything on my phone, and I also back everything up to Google, or at least that's what my dog brain thought I had done, is backed everything up to Google. Somewhere along the line, though, I don't know, it looked like about before I added all of those new clients, right? If it had happened a year and a half ago, no problem. But it happened right when I added all those new people. None of those people showed up on my transfer. And yeah, so what went on with my phone is it the charging port died. It wouldn't let me charge the phone through the charging port. It was the middle of the day. I couldn't schedule the appointments. I couldn't look at my next appointment, but I knew where I was going. So it was not that big a deal. But I knew that my phone was getting close to dying. And I had picked up the Twitter ads virus, which is a weird ad virus that comes attached to some apps. I don't know which ones. Unfortunately, don't know which ones. And it pops a pop-up ad for a Amazon product. Oftentimes that charcoal shampoo keeps popping up and it interrupts anything you're doing. So you're typing away on text message and up pops up the Twitter ads. And I've researched about it and I need to delete everything and wipe the phone clean, but I didn't really want to put the time into that with the phone that I knew was going to die. Well, it absolutely died. So I knew I could attach the two phones together either wirelessly, or I could hook it up with a USB cord and I could transport those stuff, but I risked transporting that stupid virus. And there were about, I don't know, 30, maybe 35 clients that didn't get ported over. And there were all of their information, including their addresses and all that stuff. None of it went over. None of my ringtones went over. I was afraid if I took the SD card and put it into the new phone, it was going to transfer everything. When I figured that out, I just took a huge sigh. And this is basically a big, fat, long apology to everyone. And I know this isn't a job. The podcast isn't a job, but I treat it like a job. It's supposed to be out every Friday, at least by Friday night. And I spent 2 days inputting all of the crap back into my phone. It was all I could think about. I couldn't even concentrate on doing any editing because I was so wrapped up in trying to recover everything. Not that it was gone, because I have a wireless charger for the other phone, but it takes forever to charge the phone and it gets fairly hot while it's charging. So I don't like to use it, but I can use it. Needless to say, most everything, including all of my stuff that is really heavy duty client related, is backed up in the cloud and backed up on disks in other places. So I haven't lost anything except for time. I lost a lot of time. Boy, did I lose a lot of time. So the moral of the story is, every once in a while, go check where your stuff is being backed up to. And I am 100% supporter of backing your stuff up to Google and then transferring it straight through Google over to the new phone. It just goes seamlessly that way. And if you've got problems with your old phone, then it doesn't end up on your new phone. Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, all right. That's a lesson to be learned. Listen, I have to go. I have to go take care of this barking dog, or I'm going to go. And I've got headphones on, so I imagine that he's just barking over everything we're saying. I'm going to go put him in lockdown. Talk to the people.
Okay, well, I'll take this lovely opportunity to tell you about some other ways you can support the show. One of the ways you can support the show, and a really important way, I should say, is through the Amazon banner on our website at thegroompod.com. And if you guys just click on our banner, and I know a lot of people go to shelters, donations, you know, use the Smile program from Amazon, and I'm a big supporter of that as well. But if you want to support us and what we do here, you can just go to our website occasionally, click on the Amazon banner from there and do your shopping. And then we get a teeny tiny little bit of your purchase in commission for talking about it on the show. And it doesn't change your pricing at all, but it really does help when I get that little check every month to support this. And the bandwidth purchase is coming up, and I'm trying to decide whether to put all of the archives up or actually to put the archives behind the Patreon wall, you know, and keep maybe 100, 150 or so up and then put the rest away. Because we really are getting quite a heavy load of, well, of episodes, which is cool. I mean, that's the point, right, is to get all those episodes. But it costs money to put them up there. So we also have t-shirts for sale. You can email me or private message me on Facebook and I'll let you know about those. They're pretty decent. Actually, they're kind of cheap t-shirts. I'll be honest about that. But they're okay for the price. And they've got our cute logo on, which I love the cute logo. And that's another way to support the show. Or there's the Patreon account. Patreon is a volunteer subscription service where you can donate as little or as much as you want each month. And it just comes out automatically out of your whatever debit card, bank account, whatever you set up, and know that, you know, you can cancel that at any time. And we love it. Even if you give us $1 for 1 month, it's all good. It all helps go towards getting the show done and supporting the show and maybe me grooming less and podcasting more and maybe Barbara letting us do a little more video as well. So I think this is fun. I think you guys probably, there's 7 of you watching. Hi. So fun. Hey, you can see Huckleberry up there behind my shoulder. He's up there. But just in case Barbara didn't show up, I brought my co-host. This is my little co-host, Wilbur Rat, and my other co-host, Gooey the Parrot. So just in case Barbara didn't show, I was going to, but they won't balance up by my Disney pumpkin. So anyway, what else is there? Not much else going on here. The weather is about to turn. We still have 60 degrees. I put my long pants on a week and a half ago or so. I'm suffering through. The trailer is cold and wet now, you know, the doom and gloom comes around here pretty quick, and the moisture content is up in the air, and it just drips on me all day long. Makes it harder to get the dogs. Wonder where she's taken those dogs. She must have taken the dogs all the way back to her house. This could be a while. We might need to grab a snack. I'm not all that good at tap dancing when I don't have a plan. I didn't really have a plan for this spot, but that's all right. She'll be back shortly. Uh-oh. Well, now I'm really tap dancing because she just dropped off. So what else should I talk about? Oh, I groomed a few doodles this week. My scissoring really sucks. Oh, here she comes. She's back. Yay. Good. I was running out of things to talk about.
I was just sitting here dropping the F-bomb.
Oh, well, we didn't hear any of that.
Good. I don't want you to.
Yeah, I don't know why.
The next thing that's going to happen is that my backdrop is going to collapse. But oh, well, here we are. I'm back. We got the barking dog problem solved. What's next in the interruption domain? Come on. How are we doing? Are we going to make it through this, Susie?
It's hard to say. But I think we're going to give it a college try.
Yeah, well, we may have to have an abortion.
Now, hang on. Let's take a quick break and hear from Best Shot. Then we'll be back with our first appointment. We're going to plow through this, by golly. Okay. Our first appointment, right, which is about how to use a medicated shampoo.
Okay. All right,
we've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15 to 1 for deep cleaning, 50 to 1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Let's just kind of review our process because it's important how we got to this. You know, like, so Susie suggested the topic of using medicated shampoos. And I said that would require some deep diving on my part because I'm just very aware that, you know, like each medicated shampoo has its own features. And, you know, and I'm willing to do that because I need to update the information from my book.
But so we're going to do a series.
So we're going to do a series. And today, what we're going to talk about today is the protocol for professional use of a medicated shampoo or a prescribed product from the vet.
Okay, I know what the first question that everybody asks is. Do you use a shampoo before you use the medicated shampoo, or do you not do that and just expect the medicated shampoo to do the cleaning as well?
Well, many medicated shampoos are good cleansers, but some are not so much because they're, especially if they're particularly mild or, you know, because the focus is on delivering the medicated or active ingredient. So I, you know, I think we're on the same page with this, that I always, and I've also read in dermatology protocol to do a kind of neutral shampoo first. A clarifying shampoo or a sulfate-free, mild and gentle shampoo, depending on what you're dealing with. You're not going to want to use a harsh clarifying shampoo on a dog that's got open skin sores, you know, that kind of stuff. But if it's a dirty, greasy skin problem that's at the bottom of it, a clarifying shampoo is a good choice. Otherwise, you want to go with something that's kind of a mild, and then you've got kind of two cleansing actions, your pre-bath and your bath.
Right. And I always use Show Season Truly Tearless for that, because I find it's a really good hypo cleaning shampoo. And then occasionally, if it is a more open sore situation, then I'll go with one of those sugar surfactant kind of shampoos, like maybe that Best Shot, the really nice sentiment smelly ones. Those are pretty gentle cleaners.
Yeah. I generally avoid fragrances on dogs that have that need medicated shampoos. I would go to the hypo, and I have a sugar based shampoo that I use if I need the extra mild. But I think Show Season Hypo is a good go to.
Good, I'm glad.
I think that's a good choice. So
get the dog all washed off like you would normally do with a normal bath protocol, right? In our case, we're using a bathing system. We're going to use that bathing system to clean the dog like we normally would. Then we're going to grab the medicated shampoo. And in my case, and probably yours too, I'm going to hand apply the medicated shampoo.
Right, because when you put it through the bathing system, you're diluting it, and you're diluting the active ingredients, and it's not, it hasn't been engineered to sustain that kind of dilution, you know?
Right. So sometimes with a medicated shampoo, and I hate doing this, but I'll even put on gloves, because some of them are a little rough on my hands, it seems like. I don't know if it's just the medicated shampoos. But I'll get in there and I'll make sure to get all through, starting with the collar area and working back on the dog, not missing any of the spots that are so important, including underneath the arms where you need to get a lot of contact of that shampoo, right under the arms, right in the flank area, and in the pads of the feet. These are areas that we generally wash anyway, but these are areas that need contact. Look for the spots that are irritated and get the shampoo right and focused on that spot, right?
Right.
How about leave-on time? How important is that?
Well, you want to use whatever the product is recommending. You want to really, it doesn't make sense to improvise or experiment with medicated products. You want to, they've been engineered to do a certain job, to deliver an active ingredient. And if they say 5 minutes, you need to do 5 minutes. If they say 15 minutes, you need to do 15 minutes. You need to do their protocol, their suggested. Really important to read the label of medicated shampoos. And I actually read the label every time I use one.
They're all different. There's so many different manufacturers and so many different types of shampoo out there. It is important to refresh yourself. These are medications that should be used thoughtfully. And I absolutely agree with that. Check the label every single time. And I'd like to just put a plug in here for Samsung phones. Samsung phones are waterproof or water resistant. And even though my charging port did finally go, my phone was almost 3 years old. And I dunk it, I get it wet, I use it with wet hands. They're solid, good, effective phones that can be held in the grooming and bathing area. So just a little side note there from my last week's experience.
Thank you. I happen to love my iPhone, and it also is a certain amount of water resistant.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They are too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I didn't say it.
So on that all-important label, where the instructions are, one of the things it may or may not say is frequency of bathing. And this has to do with how much residual effect a shampoo actually has. Part of the problem is when people get a shampoo assignment from their vet, you guys who can see this, I'd use the finger quotes, they don't follow through at home. Now, we can't help with that very much unless we give them a little bit of a break and do the shampooing at the shop or in the grooming salon or in wherever you're working, or they bring the dog back to the vet and do it. But getting the owners to be compliant about using the shampoo twice a week or every 3 days or even once a week is very, very difficult. So keep that in mind when you're looking for improvement, and make sure when you send that bottle of shampoo back home with them, you remind them what the protocol is, that they need to be doing this as often as is on the prescription, because the likelihood is there is some paper prescription on that label. So look for that. Read what they've listed. If it says as used, you know, advise them maybe twice a week at least. To get any efficacy, it's got to be at least twice a week, I would think. What do you think on that, Barbara?
Yeah, I think one-shot medicated applications are not very helpful, really. I mean, I agree.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
I have foggy brain syndrome today. I'm sorry.
Well, it probably doesn't matter that you're talking to a dog.
It's not, no, I could, that doesn't matter. It's internal. It's inside my brain. It's just kind of mucky in there today. not a lot of sharp clarity for me today. Sorry.
That's okay.
I mean, I'm sure it's kind of for you too, because of, you know, like when you have a crisis, like your phone dies and you have to, and you use your phone for your business, everything's on there. That's such a distraction that it really takes several days for your cognitive function to relax and get back to a peak performance level. You can't just like jump from a crisis that's soaking up your time and your energy and your worry and be bright. You know, in my case, I've been dealing with some physical pain the last few days, and that also, it just muddies me up.
Well, I am normally the best of plate spinners. I can get all 8 plates going in 8 different directions, and I can hold them all and manage them all. All I could do was think about and focus on and try to fix the phone situation until I had every last client entered. And now everybody's in there. And the beauty is I've got things backed up in 8 million different directions. I use a program to do my actual scheduling that's called M Groomer, like mom, M Groomer. And I double enter my clients' names and addresses and phone numbers in there. And I could access that on the cloud. However, I didn't have the cloud. But if I was really in a pinch, I could have used someone's inside house scheduler and gone in there and actually made the schedule by just signing into my M Groomer account. I also have my bookkeeping account, which has everybody's names and addresses. And then just because I'm really annoying, I have everyone's names and addresses written on cards that I use to record what I do in the grooming. So I have a lot of backup, but even with all of that backup, I still was this short of having panicky feelings. I hate panicky feelings and I don't have them very often, but I was definitely almost having them. It was bad.
Bad.
All right. So after we've got our dog clean and we've left that medicated shampoo on there, I generally try to rinse with a little bit cooler water than I would normally rinse with a regular shampoo.
Yeah, very good, especially if there's irritation.
What's the chemistry behind that?
Well, because cool water, it helps to cool down the actual skin temperature. You know, it actually has a cooling, because when there's irritation, there's inflammation, which means there's heat. So hot water kind of aggravates that. In fact, I do my whole medicated protocol is more on the tepid side than, you know, like when I'm doing a really dirty Cocker Spaniel, I'm using warmer water, as warm as I think is safe, because the warm water helps to dissolve the dirt and the grease and the extra oils in the skin. But if I'm doing an irritated skin, I tend to go towards the cool or towards the tepid to just like keep from aggravating any existing inflammation and kind of cooling, soothing the skin a little bit.
All right. Not to usurp your show season spot, but I am in love with the Show Season Soothe cream rinse that I've been using to follow up my medicated shampoos. And it's pretty important to follow up with a conditioner of some sort, right?
Well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, yeah, a conditioner is a lotion. You know, a conditioner is really, there's really not as much difference between a hair conditioner and a body lotion as there is between a shampoo and a conditioner. They're in the same, so it's soothing, it's protecting, and again, for the sake of the hair, it's replacing some of the oils that you've strip during the bathing process.
Right. And we're double bathing too. Yeah, you're bathing once and then bathing again.
So soothes, I can use the soothe, but I also use the Show Season Hypo conditioner, which is fragrance free. The Hypo conditioner has a little bit of detangler in it. If it's like a Cocker coat or something like that, Soothe has a little bit of chlorhexidine in it. So especially if you're using a medicated shampoo that has chlorhexidine in it, Show Season Soothe conditioner is a great matchup.
That way, maybe there's a little bit of residual left on the skin and left on the coat and held in there to actually have some benefit after the dog walks out the door. Because I always worry that there's just not a lot of residual effect, not a lot of benefit after the bath is done for some of these dogs with these medicated shampoos. I know it actually does treat some of the bacteria and some of the yeast and that. But, you know, I wish I could make them feel a little bit better than I seem to be able to do. My glasses are fogging up.
I know, it looks like you've got cataracts.
All right, off we go. Let's take a break, hear from South Park, and then we're going back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Park Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Park, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Park's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Park's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Following along the lines of our series about skin and medicated shampoos, the veterinary vocabulary is dermal and dermatitis. So we've learned before that dermal is what?
Of the skin.
Right. Dermatitis is inflammation
of the skin.
All right. And dermatitis is what we're talking about here sometimes, most often, because, you know, even if it's a yeast infection, bacterial infection, it's some third, fourth kind of infection that we don't see all that commonly. It's still, it's still inflammation around the areas that are sore. So that is why I chose that definition. And the grooming glossary
is
rough.
Rough.
What rough. Is the rough?
Rough. It's like the, here.
Yep, that's it. It's a mane. It's the
it's
thick
around,
coat of hair.
Around the neck.
It's something neck that and... this dog really does not have that I'm wearing right now. But I think of a collie as having a rough.
Yeah, collies have roughs. Corgis have roughs.
What else?
There's a lot of roughs out there.
Yeah, there are a lot of roughs. Like the Tibetan Spaniels, they have a little bit of a rough, don't they?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay, moving on. Let's go to the... See, all I got to do is wear a costume. This might be a yearly tradition, by the way. Let's do a... our definition du jour at our show season product.
Okay, for definition du jour, I picked the term, okay, science time, put on your science hat. What is a copolymer?
Yeah, I was wondering as I was typing that out if I could break that one down like I did dermatitis, but kind of, but not really.
It can, you know, because... poly is many. Okay, so a single unit is a mer, right? Polymer, many units.
Okay.
Copolymer is when you have, so all, a lot of silicone ingredients are polymers and copolymers. And the reason being that the silicone backbone has so many ways to attach other there's a single one. It has so many options. And silicones was a gift to chemists because it was an element that has infinite marriages, right? So you can, you know, so here's a complicated call. Hang on for a minute, and I'm going to go into my desktop, find a note. Okay, so.
Don't mind me. I was just taking a selfie because I probably have to take this off when I'm done, and I thought I'll forget to get up and take a selfie. So.
Okay, I gotta move you out of my way here.
Okay, Barbara's doing a note search. Note search.
Okay, note search.
This happens behind the scenes every week, but
okay,
I usually edit it out.
So here's a very interesting copolymer, hydrolyzed pea protein. And this is pea as in the vegetable?
As in not the urine, but the vegetable.
Yeah, we don't have a urine copolymer yet. Or maybe we do, but we don't know it. Okay, where was I? Hydrolyzed pea protein, PG hyphen propyl cilantriol.
Okay.
So we have the hydrolyzed pea protein, and we have the cilantriol, which is the silicone backbone. So here they have, and propyl is some other, God bless it, I didn't look that up.
Hey, at least this time I didn't do the stumping.
Stumped myself. I just stumped my own self. See, I don't need enemies. I just trip my own self up and then look like a fool.
Yeah, what those of you guys don't know is that since I haven't finished the episode, is I asked a question last week that had Barbara tripping over her own self.
There. Anytime it's a, you know, like a lot of words and an ingredient. Here's another one: cocodymonium hydroxypropyl hydrolyzed keratin.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's got to be a copolymer, right? That's got to be. That's got to be a whole family. Mega co. No, but I want to say hydrolyzed pea protein PG means that it's been ethoxylated and add oxygen. It's been made water soluble by the addition of oxygen atoms.
Okay.
It's atomic, man. Propyl cilantriol. So here's the deal about this hydrolyzed pea protein, PG, propyl cilantriol. It's a silicone, but it doesn't look like a silicone, and nobody recognizes it as a silicone. Because even though I know it's a silicone because it has that word silan, if it says silan or cilantriol, I think it would be actually cilantriol. Yeah, that's a silicone. And this happens to be in a product that claims boldly they have no silicones.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, really.
But, we are making progress. We have to look on the happy side.
There's actually another one in that product that claims no silicones. And this other ingredient is PEG/PPG18/18-dimethicone.
Well, that's obviously because it's got...
There's dimethicone.
Yeah.
How did they miss that? But here's the truth about PEG/PPG18/18-dimethicone is that it's an emulsifier. It's not a detangler.
But it's still a silicone.
But it's still a silicone. And it's in your product that's saying no silicones. And before I reveal the name of the product, I need to draw it to their attention.
Give them a chance to rectify what they may not know is wrong.
They don't know. They don't know. It's slipped by somebody. You know, like what happens with companies is that the people, sometimes it's the typist, you know, the typist who doesn't know anything about it, INCI, INCI names. And, you know, like they'll omit a comma in a critical place and it kind of changes what you think's in there. It can, or they just don't, you know, so the ingredient lists go through so many hands before it shows up on the label that somebody could have been told that their product is silicone free and not know to catch this. Nobody caught it. Because, you know, the person that's typing out the text for the website or the label maker, they're a paid clerk. They're not a chemist.
Right.
They just type what they see. They just, you know, like they're given, and even company higher ups, they're given talking points and they use them and they don't actually do a label check themselves. They should, I wish.
And that's the definition of copolymer.
It means too fucking complicated. Yeah. What's a copolymer? It's too complicated.
Okay. You were going to answer a question by Chris about something about for our show season product.
No, I was going to. Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yes. So we had a question on the Groom Pod discussion group about, can you mix show season 84 to 1, the most concentrated shampoo on the market? It's practically gel. It's so little water in it. Can you mix 84 to 1 with show season bright? And my response is, yes, go for it. You know, you can use show season bright. Is it has optical enhancers in it. It really makes any coat sparkle. And you can use it as an additive if you want to mix it with another shampoo.
I do that.
And in fact, it's not a bad idea, you know.
But I wasn't going to admit it because you told me not to play shampoo chemist necessarily because some things don't play well together. But at least this is the same line.
See, yeah, that's the thing is that, and this is a company that we kind of know. All of their ingredient information is available on their website in the safety data sheets. So they list not only their regular safety information, but they have an ingredient list with the numbers, the official, every ingredient has a filing number. So anyway, it's all the same preservative. And one of the things you might not want to mix is preservatives, you know, I mean. But when you have a company that's using pretty much the same shampoo base, which includes the preservative, same preservative system, you're fairly safe in mixing it.
Okay, good. Hey, if you guys want to play shampoo chemist with the show season bright and other shampoos in their line, you too can do it by calling show season at 678-382-0218, or you can email them if you're already set up with them to place an order, or you can see their entire line at showseasongrooming.com or at your local distributors like Groomers Mart and Cascade Grooming Supply. All right, now Evolution Shears is going to tell us about I'm going to tell you about my adventure with Evolution Shears, and then we're going to come back to our At the Table segment, which is another visit to our Facebook group. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution Shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution Shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
So what's our next question? We had another question.
We do have another question. It is from Tabitha Brass. And she says, I live in a small town and someone posted this to Facebook yesterday. The wording in their post, on top of the fact that they think they can watch YouTube videos and just become a groomer, made it very hard not to comment. Luckily, I didn't see that any of my clients were interested in the free grooming. However, her mom and grandma were clients up until, I should open the whole ad, were clients up until, now I lost my place.
Yeah, somebody died and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, until her grandma's passing a few months ago. I always wondered why they didn't have her clip nails, etc. when recently we moved our shop and had an open house, the local radio station coming up. We decided to include the fact that we are licensed, insured, and experienced. Thanks for letting me rant. And this is the ad. It says, free grooming. If any of our Facebook friends are interested in a little spa treatment for your four-legged kids, Shelby and I are offering free grooming, shaving, trimming, stripping coat, de-shedding, nail clipping, anal, what does it say? Anal glands popped. Dental cleaning, bathing. This includes cats. You are responsible for getting calming meds from a vet. Shelby and I have groomed for many years our own dogs, but we would love someone some more experience prior to opening a grooming business. Tips appreciated. And then it gives the location. So I don't even know what to say here because there's really the, you could go after this person, but they're going to, wow. What was that? Was that my house or your house?
That was your house, I think. Although I don't know because little Leah is all running around. What's up, girl?
Okay.
Maybe
well,
it was my house. Anyway, something.
No worries.
Happened.
So it, when somebody, when that kind of an ad comes across in your grooming, what would you call it? Your territory, right? How do you respond to that? Do you respond to that? Do you ignore it? In my case, I had to ignore it. What is the actual thoughtful thing to do though?
Well, I just would ignore it. I don't think you, I tried to, title this when to freak out about the competition.
Okay.
This is not the time to freak out about the competition. They're going to do that. There's no law against them doing that. The people who utilize their service are doing that at their own risk. You're not in that picture. You just need to do exactly what you did, which is to set yourself above by recognizing that you're licensed, by recognizing that you're insured. This would be a good time to name a professional organization that you belong to.
Because that's a good idea.
Membership in a professional organization is an emblem or a sign of professionality. So that's why we want to utilize that to show us as a higher level professional service that's available. If people are so hard up or so anti other groomers, if people want to try her and Shelby, whoever Shelby is, I thought Shelby was the little dog. I think that's fine. You know, and there's going to be people that open dog grooming shops that have no more education than YouTube videos and free grooms to their neighbors. There are self-taught groomers that have risen to the top.
Gotta start somewhere.
You gotta start somewhere. And you know, like, you're either, let's face it, the bottom line is you either got it or you don't got it with this grooming thing. If you've got the patience and the tolerance and some visual skills, you can teach yourself to groom. There's risks associated. I wouldn't recommend it. You know, I am so glad that I learned to groom under the tutelage of a master groomer and a very highly professional person, yep. even if he was a little bit mean and just coming out of the closet and hated women at the time. But, oh yeah, he made my life miserable.
That just makes it an adventure.
But you know, it just made me more determined to show him that I could do it. And I didn't have that much background, but anyway, people are going to teach themselves. They're going to open their businesses with little or no training by a professional. You don't have to go to a school. We're not regulated yet.
And you know what? Anybody who wants to take their pet to someone who writes an ad like that and is in the neighborhood and is just that kind of a situation, then best wishes to them. Because the majority of us are going to go find somebody we trust who has an established business. And her friends and family will be the victims. I mean, the clients.
So let's talk a little bit more about when to freak out.
Okay.
Okay. Or how, you know, like, so I had a groomer move in just around the corner from me. So it was like a half a block to the corner and then a half a block down to where she was. And I almost freaked out. And she was doing a high volume of business and she was charging a lot less than I was.
That would make me freak out a little bit right around the corner.
Yeah. You know what? You know what I did, Susie? I raised my prices.
What? Woo! Why would you do that?
Well, because there wasn't enough difference to reflect the big difference that I was in the styling department, in my operation, in my holistic grooming. It was an act of confidence on my part. I just recognized that I didn't want to be interchangeable with her.
So you raised your prices.
And so I raised my prices, and nothing bad happened. I never did have. But here's something I'll tell you. So about 3 or 4 years down, she didn't last for very long. 3 or 4 years down the line, she came over and she wanted to sell me her entire client list. She wanted $4,000 because she had to pay her biker drug people.
Oh my gosh. Well, that explains why she didn't last.
Well, it also explains why they were doing so many dogs a day, day after day.
Oh, that's crazy.
They were tweaking over there. It's just awful. It was awful.
Boy, you've actually, thinking back, you've had a lot of this because you also had a Pet Something move in, too.
Yeah, we have a PetSmart that's just a mile up the straight up Grant Road from my shop. And actually, the PetSmart had more of an impact on my retail than on my grooming, because there again, I've always marketed my grooming to separate myself from the crowd. And I've done a pretty good job with that. But boy, my retail sales just went down the toilet. My dog food sales just went down. And not only that, I was selling Nature's Recipe food. I was one of the main sources of Nature's Recipe food. Nature's Recipe went into PetSmart.
Yeah.
I didn't freak out, but I was pissed because I spent years one-on-one teaching pet owners about nutrition and guiding them to this product line, and then they go to the bank. PetSmart goes to the bank on all my homework for years.
Ah, yes. Alas. But alas. I have always said that there are plenty of dogs out there for plenty of groomers. And I know maybe that's not true in some of the really tiny towns where it might actually have a big effect of a second groomer opening up next to you. But in some of the larger towns, like especially around here, there is not enough grooming. There are not enough mobile groomers. There's certainly not enough house call groomers. You know, there's plenty to go around. It's so much better to make friends with your competition than it is to be the enemy of your competition. That's just my words of advice.
Yeah, I don't like to be enemies. I'm just uncomfortable with that kind of interaction. I mean, some people thrive on the negativity. I don't. I suffer. I have to forgive people. I have to not hold a grudge.
I have to go in and see how their shop is set up. I've got to go visit. That's my problem. I have to be friends with my neighbors because I'm nosy. All right. Well, this was certainly fun, wasn't it? Our Halloween event.
Yes, I know.
Yep. Okay. Well, I do have to go to work. I'm not sure I'm going to get all of this stuff off. I might just go like this, like I said earlier. But thank you guys. There's been a bunch of you who have hung out with us. That was cool. And there'll be a bunch of you others who might visit this a little bit later. This video will post right away. However, the audio from this will post on a regular day. And somewhere in between now and then, I'll post episode 183. Or two. No, 182. That one that's floating around, three quarters finished. I'll finish that up here tonight or tomorrow and get that one up. So happy grooming, everybody. Thanks for being here on the Groom Pod. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Happy grooming. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.